How many of us are ready for God's Word this morning?
Yes.
I'm just thinking my mic wasn't on or something. All right. Let's open our Bibles to 1 Peter chapter 3, please. 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read one quick verse, and we're going to take off and conclude the dream aspects of this series. And then tonight, we're going to look at the visions aspect. All right? We've been on a series, like I said, on dreams and visions. This is like a part two sequel. The second really installment of a series, that one that we began several months ago and was on a Wednesday evening Bible study. And I think there was enough positive feedback to merit a part two. How many of y'all would say that this is helpful? Talking about the different categories of dreams has been helpful to us to identify maybe where our dreams fall under which category. And so that's my goal. My goal is not to impress you with all this knowledge or information. I want it to be relevant and pertinent to our dream lives, okay? So if you're in 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to read one verse of scripture, verse 4, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, what an honor it is to gather together in honor of the name of Jesus Christ. Father, we gather to learn, to grow, to understand, to worship you in all that we do. Father, we ask for your Holy Spirit's presence here this morning to minister these truths to your people. We're thankful, Father. I pray breakthroughs. I pray for renewed dreams for your people that have come from your heart to theirs. For guidance, Lord, for your Spirit to use the palette of their imaginations while they sleep to speak to them. We thank you for this. We're on solid ground biblically when we say this and we pray this. And so we thank you for all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Alrighty, I'd like for us to begin with a bit of a clip, and before we show it, I'd like to set it up, alright? It is a clip from the movie Minority Report. It was back in 2002 that it came out, and it is a very wild, very interesting sci-fi movie that talks about pre-crime. And there's a task force, a pre-crime enforcement group of cops, if you would, like in the future, that they prevent crime before they arrest a person, before they're about to do something that they should not be doing, before they commit a criminal act. And it's all based on these three exceptional human beings called the precognitives. Two are twins, Dashiell and Arthur, and the gal is named Agatha. And while they sleep, this is a point I want to make, while they sleep, they have dreams of future crimes. And so it's the job of the police in that futuristic era to go out and stop the crime before it happens and arrest the person before they commit the crime. Very interesting. Let's roll it.
Plus, we
as human. No, they're much more than that.
So with these precognitives, as I mentioned, they have these dreams while they're sleeping, and they dream of a crime that's about to happen. And then the pre-crime task force is dispatched to prevent that thing from happening. Now, what's my point in sharing this? And this is, it's simply this, that in that movie, dreams carried a great impact. In fact, in the movie, that whole scene was taking place in Washington, D.C. at a futuristic time. I can't remember the exact date, but crime was reduced to nothing. All right, and why do I make that point? Because dreams can have a great impact upon our lives. Who all believes that? Who all believes? Who all agrees with me today? If you're not convinced of this, then you know maybe you need to review the past two messages that we've posted, and that is that dreams carry great significance to us in our lives, and that God speaks to us through dreams. Now, not all the dreams that we have are from the Lord. We've been sharing categories. The first category that we shared was kind of your ordinary residual dreams. And those are basically dreams due to our subconscious mind simply sorting information. These are non-interpretable dreams. They're wild. They're crazy. I think we would waste time trying to come up with an interpretation because it's just basically, it's kind of like the mind doing what the body does with nutrients and with junk food. It keeps the nutrients. It dispenses of all the rest. And that's kind of our subconscious mind in residual dreams. Keep just sorting through information and dispensing the bad and just keeping the good, so to speak. The second one was daydreams. The third, we know what daydreams are. The third one was vivid or epic dreams. And they happen when we have rapid eye movement, sleep. And I mentioned that this is a category of dreams that we should pay close attention to because the Lord uses it to speak to us through this category of dreams. And these are dreams that we don't soon forget. Number four, we talked about nightmares. Number five, we talked about anxiety dreams. Number six, we talked about lucid dreams. And now this morning we come to number seven, and let's talk about recurring dreams. Who all has had recurring dreams? Right. Let's talk about that. Recurring dreams are something that just deal with the subconscious mind. Now, please understand, I'm going to make a statement again that I made a couple weeks ago. I didn't make it last week. I want to make it. The one great contribution that psychology has given to us is the understanding that the mind never sleeps. The mind never sleeps. So when we have recurring dreams, it is our subconscious mind, listen, working through stuff that has happened to us, or the way we have perceived things that have happened to us. It might not be reality. It might be our perception of reality. And often through recurring dreams, insecurities surface to the front. Fears surface to the front. Trauma surfaces to the front or to the fore. And in these dreams, listen, I believe that we need to pay close attention. This is our own soul speaking to us while we are asleep. And it's basically giving us, listen carefully, you know, when you get in your engine and you're driving your car and then the engine light comes on, it's signaling that something needs to be checked out, right? Or the oil light comes on, maybe you need to go get it serviced. Or the brake light comes on. Something, it's a signal giving to you. And so this is how I want you to see recurring dreams. That is your soul giving you a little warning signal that all is not well with Happy Valley in the homestead. Right? That we need to pay close attention to something. You know, for the longest time I've had just many recurring dreams. And for the longest time, I had this dream that my father was constantly hammering on me the way he did when I was a kid growing up. And, you know, the interesting thing about that, in my dream, it made me feel the insecurity, the belittling feeling that I got when he would address me that way as a kid, I re-felt that in my dreams during the recurring dream. And I finally called my mom and said, "Mom, I keep dreaming about my dad. What's the deal? He's been gone for 10 years. You know, he's in heaven now. And so what's the deal?" And she said, "Son, maybe you need to deal with something that's happening to you. Maybe you haven't forgiven him. Maybe you haven't extended grace. Maybe you haven't." And she went on a different list of things. And, you know, I just, in my own way, in my own feeble way, I talked to the Lord and I said, "Lord, if there's any ill will that I still reserve in my heart or in my soul towards my dad, I release him and I forgive him, Lord." And, you know, when I did that, those dreams just went away. So recurring dreams are like a warning signal to your soul. It is your soul speaking to you. And basically, the reason why I had us look at 1 Peter 3:4, I love the description of our spirits there. It calls our spirits the hidden person of the heart. You know, those of you who have had surgery, when they opened you up, they didn't see a little person floating in there saying, "Oh, look, that's a little spirit there. That's just their subconscious mind." No, it's hidden. It is invisible. But though invisible, how many of us know it's still real? Dreams can be very real. So those are recurring dreams. All right. We also said last week that I want to bring up to our consciousness this morning, church family, and that is that the enemy can use nightmares and can use anxiety dreams to torment us, to harass us. And I believe he also uses recurring dreams to agitate us or harass us during the night seasons while we are asleep. And listen, we as children of God, we have authority over that. And let me say here, sometimes those harassments require prayer from another person to break the power over that hold that the enemy might have on you. Yoo-hoo. Is it quiet because we're just absorbing, right? Because how many of us know the enemy just, oh, they're asleep, we're going to leave them alone. No, your guard's down when you're asleep. Then he sees, well, this is prime time for me to do my work and to harass them and torment them. You know, maybe we have recurring dreams of a failure that we committed in the past. And we haven't forgiven ourselves. And the reason why we have that recurring dream is because we have not forgiven ourselves. And that dream just continues to haunt us night after night after night. God did not design dreams to torment us while we are asleep. Can I get a witness in the house, please? Right? God wants to speak to us through dreams, but the enemy would love to harass us. All right? So sometimes recurring dreams require action on our part. And sometimes, church family, we'll need to seek the Lord and ask him what action, what particular action it might be that we need to take so that we can put a stop to those negative, haunting, recurring dreams that we have. That's number 7. Number 8, intercessory dreams. This is a pretty cool one. I used to have intercessory dreams as a teenager. Let me describe these. Incidentally, these are not Christian phrased dreams. These are from the secular world. So for the secular world to acknowledge that we can intercede in our sleep, that's pretty big time. All right? In an intercessory dream, you are dreaming, listen, you are praying in your dream for someone else. You are interceding for someone else. I remember as a teenager, I used to do that. I used to be praying and I would wake up tired. Why would I wake up tired? Because I had just been praying for someone in my sleep. I haven't had those in a long time. I don't look to have them, but if they come, great. And listen carefully, this is a very, very important point that we write down. We might not be interceding in real time. We might not be interceding for someone at that time, at that moment. We might be interceding for a need that hasn't even materialized in the future. We might be praying for a need that hasn't even developed yet, but we are praying it for future happening. Before it develops, we're praying for that need. Also, in an intercessory dream, we dream of helping someone. We grace somebody else's soul. We help them. We intercede. We encourage them. We bring something to help lift them up. That is an intercessory dream. How many of y'all believe in intercessory dreams? I've had them. I believe in them. Like I said, sometimes you wake up tired because what have you been doing? You're sleeping. Remember, the mind does not what?
Sleep.
The mind does not sleep. But thank God that God can use our minds while we, the rest of us, while our bodies are sleeping, to pray for someone else. Can I get a witness? Now, that does not mean that we don't develop a prayer life. Come on, somebody. We can't say, well, I already prayed for somebody, so I don't need to spend my time in prayer with the Lord. No. We should. Listen, my friends. We should continue to pray with our conscious mind. And if the Lord wants to use our subconscious mind to pray for someone, let Him use that. All right? Now, we're going to spend a little time on the last one, and that is a Macedonian call prayer. Go with me to Acts chapter 16, please. All right, verse 9. Acts 16, verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. Stop there. What is a vision? What is a night vision? What's another way to describe a night vision? A dream. A dream. Okay? And so it says here, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night, a man, a what? A man of Macedonia stood and pleaded with him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. Now, after he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go to Macedonia, concluding that the Lord had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, stop there. Very, very important. Paul had that dream, and when he awakened, he concluded what? To go. That's the thing about Macedonian call dreams. There's always a call of action, a call to action to do something. And the Lord, how many of us know that God tries every conceivable way to speak to us while we're awake? And if we're not listening, you know, Job chapter 33 says he'll speak one way and he'll speak another. If you're not listening to him during the day, well then, by George, he's got you as a captive audience during the night. And he's going to try to ring your bell and get your number and grab your attention and say, hey, yo, I need you to do this. So Paul safely and rightly concluded that he should go to where? Macedonia. All right? Now, interesting. In verses 11 through 15, they find women. And then in verses 16 through 24, he finds another woman. But who was it that called out to him in the dream? It was a man. It wasn't until he was put in jail that he encountered that man. So jump that with me, please. He's in jail with Silas. And in verse 25, but at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had left, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Verse 31, so they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Verse 32, then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house, and he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes, and immediately he and all his family were what? Baptized. Now, why is that important? Why didn't the Lord give him a dream of women and a man? Are the details of the dream important? What's that?
Because of the family that needed.
It was the family, right. So really, though, the ladies at Lystra, him encouraging the ladies by the river, and Paul driving a demon out of a woman, those were not the main mission, were they? No. Why did God call Paul to Macedonia? Because there was a jailer that was going to take his life, and God wanted Paul to preach the good news to that man. And he and all his family got saved, and he and all his family were water baptized, right, church family? Now, it's very important. Now, let's talk about the application aspect. I don't think I've had a lot of Macedonian call dreams, you know, dreams that call to action. I think, you know, God speaks to us in a variety of ways, and I think that God speaks differently to his children differently. You know, how many of y'all know that when you have children, you have different personalities, and you can't necessarily relate to all the kids the same way as you relate to one, right? Gabby was our little blessing, and she was the most stubborn kid. Right, Gabs? I remember her mom one time came to me. She would try to potty have Gabby potty trained, and it was a big failure. And one thing I've learned about my daughter Gabby, she ain't gonna do stuff until she good and ready. I learned that. And so I remember the day when my ex-wife, her mother, came to me and said, "Here, she's your daughter, you're potty training her." And I said, "Fine." And then I was like, "Lord, you got to help me." And I did pray. And I came up with a brilliant idea. And I thought, every time I'm going to offer her money. Every time. True story. Am I right, Gabby? Am I telling this right? I said, every time she goes to the potty, I'll give her a quarter. Well, she caught on. And my ex-wife was like, "How did you do that?" And I'm like, "Who's bad?" Now, to me, why do I say that? To me, God speaks to a variety of ways. And she was just stubborn. And, you know, I couldn't relate to the other two, the firstborn, the middle child, the same way that I related to Gabby. And so what I'm trying to say is that, you know, God might use Macedonian call dreams to speak to you. He might not. And that's okay if you don't receive them. You know, God speaks to me primarily. A lot of the time, God gives me a desire to do something for somebody. And it's not just a fleeting desire. It's one that stays with you. It's not just, you know, something that I feel for a day. It's not something that I feel maybe for 2 days. I've been feeling this for weeks, and so I pursue that desire and try to do good for someone. I feel like that's the way primarily God speaks to me. He also speaks to me through the still small voice. But listen, God can speak to us through, I say all that to say this, God can speak to us through the Macedonian call dreams. I remember I called Mom. I call her a couple times a week just to see how she's doing. But growing up, my mom used to tell me of an incident when the day that she buried her dad, my maternal grandfather, that she had a dream. And in this dream, her dad appeared to my mom. And her dad was telling Mom, "Hey, I owe this person money. Please pay the money." And she went out and paid the money she owed. But that was a Macedonian call dream. It is a dream that calls us to action, right? Okay, how many of y'all I know it's really quiet. Is this fascinating? It's not boring. Okay, thank you. Now, tonight we're going to deal with visions, all right? There are three types of visions. We've kind of touched on them. I want to deal with them and give you examples of maybe, I don't like to share a lot of the visions that I've had because some of them are very personal. I'll just end up, you know, blubbering in a puddle of tears, but maybe I'll share somebody else's vision, but There's something else. All right? All right. So how many of y'all were blessed with the teaching of the word this morning?
Amen.
All right. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your goodness to us, Lord God. Father, thank you that you love us, Lord. Thank you that you speak to us in a variety of ways. Father, thank you for being so good, so loving, so caring. Father, that you minister to every single one of us. Thank you, Lord, for touching your people this morning. With every head bowed, every eye closed, please. I sense that there are some of us, and the Lord put this on my heart yesterday. I was praying about today and praying about the message and such. And I feel like there are some of us who are being harassed by the enemy in our dreams. It's a recurring, it's a common occurrence. It is something that happens frequently. And some of us have cried out, as it were, to the Lord. And so if you're that person, you know, I would like to invite you. We're going to have a closing hymn. During the closing hymn, I'd like to invite you to come forward for prayer. Or if you just want to kneel at the altar, please feel free to kneel at the altar. What I'm basically going to pray is we're going to take authority over the enemy and we're going to invite Jesus to meet you in your dreams, all right? So, Father, we thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord God, for ministering to your people. Father, I do sense there are many needs here, and I do sense that there are needs regarding dreams and nightmares. I sense that there's someone that keeps having a nightmare of their loved one leaving them. So, Father, I pray whoever that is, Lord, that you would break the power of that dream and that hold over their lives. Thank you for all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you. God bless you. Have a blessed day. Hope to see you tonight at 6 o'clock.